Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look to the teaching of Scripture, one of the things that you find is manifestly clear throughout the teaching of God's Word is that those who are brought to salvation in Jesus Christ, those who are the redeemed, those who the Spirit of God regenerates and creates faith in their heart, He gives them that new nature. That nature is a desire then to worship the true and living God. That nature then seeks through the Word and knows the true and living God rightly and desires to honor and glorify Him then by taking heed to the Word and worshiping then the true and living God in spirit and in truth. This is what we see in the life of Mary, as we saw in previous Sunday with Mary and the angel Gabriel coming to her and announcing to her that she was the one that was to give birth to the Messiah, the Savior, the Son, the true and living God, and that she rejoiced in that. And her desire then was to serve and be the handmaiden of the Lord, the servant, the slave, actually is the rendering, to be the slave of the Lord. Be so to me as you have determined, Lord. Let it happen to me. Let it come to pass. Let my life be one of glory and honor and praise to you, even though she didn't understand how it was going to come to pass. She didn't understand what was going on here. She didn't know anything in her life or throughout the teaching of the Old Testament that demonstrated that one was born and yet there was a male that was not involved in that. There was not a man involved in the birth of a child. She didn't understand that at all. And so she had asked that question, how can that be? I don't even know a man. And yet she believed. Now notice what God does for Mary, and what He does for us. How God stoops to Mary to comfort her, to provide for her, to answer questions that she has in her mind, to give her the confidence to know that God can be trusted, that His promises are true. And He says, you know, Elizabeth, your relative, she's in her 6th month of pregnancy right now. And this is what the text says, that Mary, she rushed off and she went to go visit Elizabeth. This was a sign that the Lord had given to Mary to bring much comfort and consolation to her soul. And so she went, and you know, as we have read this morning, as soon as she bring the announcement, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb. There was great excitement. And there was great excitement for Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice what she did. She gave praise to God. You see, that's when one is filled with the Spirit of God, they give praise to God. Their lips are those that exalt and sing out the honor of His name, the desire to worship Him and glorify Him, praise Him and serve Him in all of their words and works. This is what you see with Mary. You saw that with Elizabeth. And this is what we find in our text this morning. Beloved, are you a true worshiper? Are you one who worships God in spirit and in truth? Are you one who worships Him in spirit as one who has been born of the Spirit of God, who has been regenerated, who walks by true faith in the true and living God and takes hold of His promises and believes Him who is true and holy and righteous and mighty towards His people? Are you trusting Him? Are you worshiping Him that way? Are you worshiping Him in truth? Not will worship, but according to His Word. That's how we're to enter into worship. We are to worship Him in no other way but that which He has commanded us in His Word. That's the worship that He receives, and that is the worship of those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. That's their delight, because that's the work of the Spirit within their soul, driving them to worship God in this way. We have the examples of those who thought that they would worship God the way that they desired, according to their feelings. Let me give you some examples. Saul, King Saul, he's about ready to go out to battle the Philistines, and Samuel hasn't arrived to bring the sacrifice. So the text says this, that Saul felt in his soul that he ought to offer the sacrifice. It was never given to the king to do the work of a priest or a prophet. He was a king, and he was not to offer the sacrifice. But the feelings, he went by his feelings, his emotions. He saw the army getting stirred up and maybe departing from him, and so he got excited and he said, I better do this. When you read that account in 1 Samuel, you find that Samuel comes to him and tells him, you've acted foolishly. Your feelings have made you act like a fool. Beloved, we don't worship according to our feelings. Yeah, sometimes you don't feel like coming to worship. Sometimes you don't feel like doing particular things. But you do them what God has told us in His Word, how we are to live. That's how you do them. That's why you do them. We don't worship according to our feelings. We worship according to His Word. We don't know how to worship Him except from His Word. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire in the temple. They were killed. Uzzah reached out to steady the ark, which he was not to touch. Levitical law is very clear on that. It was not to be put on an ox cart. It was to be carried by the Levites, the Kohathites, the group of Levites. They were to carry him on poles. It's not to be touched. And I'm sure he was sincere. I'm sure he was genuine. And I'm sure in his feeling was, I better steady that ark, lest it fall. And the Lord struck him dead right there. It's interesting because David got angry, and David then feared the Lord greatly when he saw what happened to Uzzah. But you know, when Nadab and Abihu, when they were struck down for offering strange fire in the temple, and Aaron, he was upset. He was angry. And he comes to Moses to tell him about the death of his sons. Remember Moses' words? All those who draw near to the Lord, he must be regarded as holy. If God is regarded as holy, we take heed to his word. We worship him as he has revealed himself in his word. What you find here with Mary is a young girl who knew the scriptures. Now, just speaking to the young girls in here, one of the reasons why that we have studies of the catechism, why we have Sunday school, why we have Bible studies, why we have the worship service, why it's the responsibility of the men, the fathers in the home, to lead their families in worship, not only on the Lord's Day, to be one who leads the family to worship, but also in the home, being the prophet, priest, and king, teaching your children how to be those who are in submission to the Word, to read the Word, to worship God, to submit to Him. One of the reasons why we have that, and that all goes on, that's the covenantal duty that we have in our families, but it's that you might be filled with the Word of God. That you might be one who is under the subjection of God's word, so that you don't live foolishly according to your feelings, but you live according to the truth of God's word. That you are directed by God's word. When you are dealing with situations in your life, you are directed by the word of God. This was Mary. Mary was one who was probably 13 years old, who was filled with the word, and it comes out in praise. She's instructed in her mind, and therefore she offers acceptable praise to God. The more that you know about God and of God through His Word, the deeper will be your reverence and worship of Him. That's what we see in the life of Mary. Let me give you two things in this verses 46 through 50. First thing we see is Mary's heart for God in verses 46 and 47. And if you look at verses 48 through 50, you see Mary's understanding of God. Mary's heart for God and Mary's understanding of God. Now notice the first thing is Mary says as a response to Elizabeth. Mary says back to Elizabeth, My soul magnifies the Lord. Now, that's drawing from the Old Covenant. You realize that. Mary was one who had to have been steeped in the Old Covenant, in the teaching of Scripture from the Old Testament. That's an allusion to the Psalms. That's what the psalmist says. My soul exalts in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. You can see this is coming right from the words of the psalmist. Blessing and praise and honor to the Lord. Mary is magnifying God. Magnifying, it's a present tense here in this Greek text, and it means it's a keep on magnifying. She's keeping on exalting and praising Him, declaring His greatness. I want you to see something here, beloved. Worship of the true and living God is that beginning in the heart by the work of the Spirit, and it makes manifest through the lips and through the life. If you are one born of the Spirit of God, your life will manifest that worship through your lips. You will declare His praise. You will give thanks to His name, even as we see Mary doing here, praising God for His great goodness. Understanding the attributes of God, understanding who He is, His character, His covenantal blessings towards His people. You can't help but praise His name. We are those that are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus was always worshiping His Father. That is the very image, beloved, that we are being conformed into. It's got to be seen in our life. It's a believing of the promises. It's believing what God says in His Word. Your relative Elizabeth is pregnant. She's in her 6th month. Okay, I'm going to see it. I'm going because I believe the Lord has done this work. This is going to comfort my soul as I see the sign that the Lord has given. It's going to be a great blessing. She believes God. And she magnifies His holy name. She says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She magnifies Him. She declares His greatness. And she rejoices in her Savior. She is one who jumps for joy. That's what the term means there. She is leaping for joy. She's an excited young woman about her God. Oh, that the young girls today of the church would be excited about their God. The God who has redeemed us. The God who has called us to Himself. The God who has washed us with the blood of His Son. Cleansed us and calls us His dear children. That we would be steeped as the people of God in God's Word. That we might exalt in this way. That praise might ascend to His throne room. That He might be exalted. That He might be honored. That His name would be praised and not used as a household swear word. But His name would be reverenced. We would use it in prayer. We would use it in praise for His honor and for His glory. Notice that she calls Him the Lord. You know who the Lord is? Kurios, the Lord, the Master, the Ruler, the Adonai. The one who rules, the sovereign potentate. Mary understood who this one was. The one that rules all things and upholds all things. She's humbled. She's rejoicing. She's singing out. She's magnifying and praising Him. And she wants to do more of this. That's what's exciting in her soul. She continues to praise His holy name and to rejoice in God my Savior, demonstrating that she knows that she needs a Savior. She's a sinner. She knew of the covenant in the Old Covenant. She knew of the types and the sacrifices, the ceremonies. She knew of all these things. She knew what they meant, that they represented the covering, the washing away. It was a symbol, a sign, a foreshadow of the forgiveness of sins. And she knew she needed a Savior. She received favor. She received blessing. She was not the dispenser of it. She had received that from the Lord. And so when the Roman Catholic Church begins to teach that Mary is the dispenser of grace, that Mary is the one that sits on the back side of the cross, the co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ, they have misunderstood the text of Scripture. It doesn't say that at all. Mary even says with her own mouth, "I rejoice in God my Savior." One who's not a sinner doesn't need a Savior. Mary understood herself to be a sinner, and that it was God who was the Savior. God my Savior. Who's the Savior? The revelation of the New Testament is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That there is no other Savior. That the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. To be what? To be the Savior of mankind. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one salvation. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. His name is Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Because there's no other way to be saved. And this is what Mary is declaring here. God is my Savior. Christ is my Savior. He is the Messiah, the Redeemer, God come in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. All within this one verse here. Mary's telling us that He's the Lord. He's the ruler of everything in heaven and on earth. And He is the Redeemer of sinners. He redeems. And as a response, beloved, as those who are the redeemed, it's magnify, it's praise, it's exalt in His holy name. That's what she does. That's what we ought to be doing. How's your praise to the true and living God? How's your thanksgiving to God? Your excitement this morning, as you get up this morning And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to one another. There's nothing wrong with having a Christmas tree, decorating those things. You know, we're not bowing down and worshiping those things. But let me ask you, beloved, this morning when you woke up, did the fact that Christ came into this world, God come in the flesh, take a back seat to all these things? Did the things that in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them, did they become wrong in your life because of your eclipsing the true meaning of why we celebrate? We need to teach our kids, don't we? Yes, we give gifts. And this is why we give gifts. Because of the greatest gift given to us. That we now are made giving people. That we ought to be giving. It's a blessing to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus said. So we ought to do good to all men, especially the household of faith. We ought to do good to one another. We ought to give to one another. And that's a response, beloved. It's a response of the work of Christ through His Spirit in the soul of the believer. So how's your worship this morning? Things in perspective? Things prioritized, you got things in the right order, you understanding as you approach these particular days why we do what we do. Don't get all caught up in the trappings and miss the heart of it. Mary demonstrates. It's all about rejoicing in Him, isn't it? Rejoicing that we have a church family. Rejoicing that we have loved ones. Rejoicing that God loves us and has shed His love abroad in our heart that we might love Him and love one another. that people love me and that I love you. That's God's gift, isn't it? Natural enemies He brings together in one body to love one another. And it's expressed, our love to God, by our lips. And our love to one another by lips and actions. That's what we see in the life of Mary. She says here in verse 48, "He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." She understood who she was. She was amazed. That God would come to me. Beloved, is that your understanding of salvation? That you're amazed that God would save you. That He would come to you. You see, we live in a land of Pharisees where people think they deserve God's forgiveness. That we think we deserve God's goodness. And when we do, we thumb our nose at people, don't we? We look down on people. If we really understood who we are, it would be is because we know who God is. And when you know who God is, you know who you are. And when you know who you are, because you have a right reflection through the scriptures of who you are, that your cue is not from your feelings or from the world, but from the teaching of scripture and what the Bible says about us. How can you not walk in humility? How can you not walk as a humble person, knowing that everything that you receive from the hand of the Lord? How can you not be amazed at the salvation in Jesus Christ? How can you not in your prayer say, Lord, that you would save me? Me! Because you know your heart. You know your heart. And I know my heart. Christ come to save sinners. Apostle Paul said, among whom I am chief. And John said, behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of the living God? Mary is exalting. She's praising God. She understands her lowly estate. She understands forgiveness. She understands salvation. She understands the redemption. She understands propitiation. She understands expiation. She understands that if someone does not provide for her, she's damned, and rightly so. But that you should come, she says, to me, the lowly handmaiden, the maidservant. The Greek term there is slave. She sees herself as a lowly slave. A slave was the lowest job you could have in that time, in the world of that time. That's why it's so humbling when Jesus girds himself and he stoops down and he washes the dirty, stinky feet of the disciples in the upper room. That's the lowest menial task of the day, was for a foot-washing slave to do. This is what Mary is calling herself. I'm the slave of the Lord. In saying that, though, recognize she's also saying, I'm one who's purchased. Because slaves were bought and sold, and she is worshiping and praising God as one who has been purchased by Jesus Christ. So she says, from henceforth, all generations, even right now, we're calling her blessed. She was blessed. She was blessed. She had an encounter with the Lord. She was blessed. God came to her and saved her. She was blessed. She is the one who gave birth to the Messiah, the Savior. God come in the flesh. She was blessed. And generation after generation has declared Mary was blessed. Beloved, you're blessed of the Lord. That's where the blessings come from. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. Comes from him. All blessing comes from the Lord. What do you have that you haven't received? Everything comes from him. Mary understood that. Her lowly estate. Notice that, as I said before, it's not a king's castle that Christ is born in. It's not to some king. It's not to some nobleman. It's to obscurity. The peasant girl. A lowly handmaiden. Whose husband is a carpenter. Going to be husband is a carpenter. Born in a cattle trough. Came into this world naked. Left this world naked. It was the shame of the cross. Was to hang there naked. Both of them, beloved, for us. In our place. Born that he might fulfill all the righteous demands of the law that we have not kept. Died to cover all of our sins with his precious blood to wash them away. That we might be made white as snow by his perfect righteousness. Rose from the dead as the sign from the Father that the work of the Son has been received on our behalf. That we can look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and know that God has forgiven us all of our sins for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary says, He's mighty. He's the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Remember that question asked of Sarah? When she laughed, when the Lord told Abraham, this time next year when I come back, Sarah is going to become pregnant. And she's in the back of the tent. How's that going? Are you kidding me? How's that? I'm an old lady. Why does Sarah laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you did laugh. And the laugh will be on you as you call your son Isaac. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Mary understood her scripture, didn't she? You think she knew of Genesis? You think if she knew of the covenant that God made with Abraham? She rehearses right here the covenant promises. She declares for us right here that it's in light of the covenant that Christ came. He is the covenant keeper. He is the one who keeps the covenant for His people. He is the one of whom Abraham spoke about, Moses spoke about, all the prophets of the old covenant spoke about. He is the one who fulfills all the promises. It's in Him that all the promises of God are yea and amen. He is the seed that is spoken about. Not of many, but of one, the Christ. That seed would be the seed that would redeem the people. He's the mighty one. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He has done great things for me. Beloved, is that your praise? God has done great things for me. He has redeemed me. He has washed me. He has cleansed me. He is conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ. He's made me a true worshiper. He's shed His love abroad in my heart by His Holy Spirit. He's forgiven me of all of my sins. He's granted me everlasting life. Is that your praise? Is that your understanding? Why? Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He does all of His good pleasure. Holy is His name. Again, all drawing from the old covenant. Mary knew that our God is holy. You draw near to Him, He is to be regarded as holy. He's to be reverenced. You see, that's why we make so much in the Reformed Church about our worship, how we worship. That's why we don't poll the congregation. What would you like to add to the worship service? I mean, I love you, but it's totally irrelevant. You ought to be those that are bringing your minds captive to the obedience of Christ through His Word. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. To honor Him in this way. That's how He's honored. That's how He's glorified. That's how His name is regarded as holy by His people. And we submit to His Word. We approach Him as He has declared in His Word that He will be approached. And you cannot come near to Him except through His Son, Jesus Christ. What a joy, what a blessing that we have Christ, that Christ came to this earth to take upon Himself the form of a servant, the form of a man, to live and die in our place, that we might then come into the Holy of Holies, that He might make that way open to us. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. Notice the compassion of God. Generation to generation. It's covenantal. This is covenant language here. From generation to generation. You see, beloved, that's why, again, the stress on you parents, raising up your children, being serious-minded about raising up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because God's mercy is upon those who fear Him from generation to generation. Generation in Scripture is 40 years. So from 40 years and continuing, every single generation coming. And how does that happen? As you parents raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and that is where the Holy Spirit works, within the covenant family, as they are under the teaching of God's Word. And God works in their hearts, and they get married, and they have their family unit, and they raise up their family in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And they teach their children that God is mighty, that God is holy, that God is to be magnified. He is to be exalted. We are to thank His holy name. We are to praise Him and worship Him and serve Him with all of our being. And they are saved. And God saved generation after generation. Notice that His mercy, not giving us what we truly deserve, is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. There is no fear of God in the hearts of men apart from regeneration. The fear that's spoken of here is a godly, reverential fear. And how do you demonstrate that, beloved? You magnify, you exalt in the Lord, you submit to His word, you worship Him in spirit and in truth, and with heart and with lip and with action, you give Him praise, even as we see with Mary this morning. Is that your heart? We need more of it, don't we? We need a continual, progressive work of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we ought to recognize that, and we ought to cry out for it. God blesses His people. So when you cry out for sanctification, that is well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So cry out, beloved, for the things that you desire in your heart to be, to live for the glory of God. He blesses those prayers. He sanctifies His people, that His name then might be worshipped in all of their words and all of their works. That's why we rejoice this Lord's Day, this Christmas Day, that Christ has come. Christ has come and He has made the way into the holiest, the most holiest of all, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He has done that, that we might then exalt in His holy name. Amen. Shall we pray?